Andrew, you served as a state representative from 2001 to 2009 and were Speaker of the House for four of those years. Now you are president and CEO of Mental Health Colorado, an advocacy organization for state mental health programs and policy. Why the switch from politics to mental health?
Mental health and substance use disorders were some of the problems I tried to tackle when I was in the state house. I wanted to make Colorado a leader in preventing and treating those disorders. We're not there yet. And I know from personal and painful experience what can happen when a mental illness goes untreated. I lost probably the person closest to me in the world, a first cousin I thought of as my little sister, 2 years ago when she took her own life while her mom and dad and I were all celebrating New Year's with her.
I'm really sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life, as anybody who's lost a loved one in that fashion will do, trying to figure out how we missed the signs. But she didn't want us to know that she was depressed or suicidal. In fact, she left a note for us that asked us to tell people it was a car accident, because I think even in death, she was concerned about her reputation. And what we find too often is that people who suffer from a mental health disorder conceal it because they worry about the consequences if someone finds out.
So you took on this role as CEO of Mental Health Colorado. Why that organization?
Well, we've been the leader in the state for more than 60 years in trying to get care to more people who need it. And we had a hand in passing landmark legislation over the years. Laws, for example, that tell insurance companies they have to treat mental health the way they treat physical health. It's far too early to declare victory and go home, because these laws are only as good as their implementation. And now what we're trying to do is make sure that Coloradans get the care and the coverage to which they're entitled.
You will be in Aspen on Monday to mark the beginning of a two-day strategic funding workshop for public health providers in the Upper Roaring Fork Valley. The title of this workshop tells all, because funding for rural mental health and substance abuse treatment is hard to come by. And mental health and substance abuse are among the top three health issues in Eagle County and number one in Pitkin County. But despite efforts, Andrew Romanoff, treatment and outreach outcomes are not changing. What's the problem?
First, I'd say we have made some progress, just not enough. I mean, the good news is, at least for the time being, mental health is an essential benefit under federal law, along with substance use treatment. The law of the land and the law of the state, for that matter, require parity, meaning insurance companies can't discriminate in treating mental health conditions. Again, those protections are only as good as we enforce them. That's one of the reasons we're working with the state regulators at the Division of Insurance and elsewhere to hold insurance companies accountable. And it's one of the reasons we want to make sure consumers know their rights. But look, you're right. We have not done nearly enough as a state or as a country to prevent these illnesses or to treat them in a timely fashion. We don't have enough providers, especially in rural Colorado. We see too many myths and misconceptions that dissuade people from seeking treatment. And we unfortunately have learned the hard way that ignoring mental illness is far more expensive than treating it. We end up paying in just about every other corner of the state budget for untreated mental illness.
In what way?
Well, take a look, for example, at the criminal justice system, which has become the single largest source of treatment for mental health and substance use disorders in Colorado and across the country. A lot of folks who don't get treatment for their mental illness medicate themselves with drugs or alcohol. And we pay the price. They do too. We pick up the tab as a state to the tune of more than $40,000 a year for a prison cell. It'd be far cheaper and more effective and ultimately, I think, more humane and morally defensible for us to get treatment up front.
Except in rural Colorado, acute treatment units are hard to find. Treatment for substance abuse and affordable treatment for mental health issues is difficult to find. The Colorado General Assembly is supposed to address something about a placement of people on involuntary mental health holds in jails. Can you talk a little bit about that proposal?
Sure. And those issues are connected. So Colorado is one of only a handful of states that still allow people who have committed no crime but present an imminent threat of harm to themselves or others to be held against their will in a jail cell if no therapeutic facility is available. And as you just pointed out, in a lot of parts of the state, no therapeutic facilities are available. The solution, in our view, and in the view of a bipartisan coalition at the legislature, is not to increase the time such Coloradans spend in jail, but rather to increase the supply of therapeutic facilities. So there is a proposal going through the legislature now. It's called Senate Bill 207, which would both end the use of jails for these emergency mental health holds and provide some funding to start setting up more therapeutic facilities. Look, I would never argue that we've done enough, and in rural Colorado, this problem is particularly acute. We've talked to rural sheriffs throughout the state who tell us if someone is experiencing a mental health crisis and they have to place that person on an emergency hold, if they can't place them in a jail cell and don't want to place them back on the streets, their alternative is to drive them across the state to Grand Junction in some cases, to Denver in others, and in the process deplete their law enforcement resources.
Right. That's one reason why law enforcement in this area is really hoping to create somebody will create a detox facility so they don't have to use manpower to transport clients to different places. And that's, to me, Andrew Romanoff, it feels like a vicious cycle.
Well, we've got to figure out a way to intervene. And one of the most promising strategies I've seen provides care not at the point of crisis, but instead much earlier. I know MindSprings is pursuing this strategy, and other mental health providers are as well. It's to place mental health professionals in schools where kids are far more likely to get the care they need than if they're forced to travel across town or certainly across the state to find that kind of care. It means training teachers not to diagnose or to treat these illnesses because they're not qualified to do so, but at least to spot some of the symptoms and then engage the parents and embed some of these mental health professionals on site, creating a system that helps kids get care. In fact, the research we've seen suggests that kids who find a mental health professional on site at school are roughly 8 times more likely to receive the care they need than if they're forced to find such care at an agency on the other side of town.
You know, getting back to that strategic funding angle of the workshop next week, is there any kind of strategic funding for this issue that you would recommend?
The truth is we're spending a lot of money right now in foster care, in emergency rooms, certainly in criminal justice, because we have not done a particularly good job of preventing or offering early intervention for mental health and substance use disorders on the front end. Some schools, for example, have made more aggressive use of Medicaid dollars to provide some of the resources I was describing earlier. Some communities have gone to the ballot. In Larimer County, for example, a bipartisan coalition of community leaders crafted a proposal that would have provided more funding for substance use treatment. They persuaded all of their county commissioners to refer that measure to the voters. Unfortunately, the voters said no, but it doesn't mean that they can't try again or that other communities can't be inspired by their example. So I think it's going to be a combination of local, state, and federal efforts, certainly a combination of public and private partnerships. There is some money for the opiate epidemic in a new law that Congress passed at the tail end of 2016. So that hopefully will make a dent. And there's some effort also from the feds in the last administration to help states, including Colorado, which got about a $1.3 million grant from this program, to do a better job of enforcing laws like mental health parity, again, to make sure consumers get the rights to which they're entitled and the coverage for which they're paying.
Andrew Romanoff, President and CEO of Mental Health Colorado, thank you very much.
Thank you.